Limitless Wrestling fans, time for yet another edition of the Limitless Wrestling Podcast. Brady Carver joining me, John Alba here, and it's a new era here at the Limitless Wrestling Podcast, a new computer in the Casa de Alba, because, you know, we just felt like waking up and dropping thousands of dollars on new equipment, you know?
It's the funnest thing going, man. Isn't I wish that, I could do it every day of my life.
Right, don't you? Just, you know, when stuff just stops working.
Yeah, I have a lot of choice.
I sent you a picture of what my computer looked like about 3 hours ago, so.
Yeah, just a plain blue screen.
Yeah. That's called, see ya.
Yeah. Yep.
That's where we are. What's going on, man? I've been super busy last week. That's why we didn't have an episode. Sorry about that.
Hey, man. I'm glad to be back this week, though. These are my favorite kind of podcasts, the Q&A episodes. I think they're we take a really cool dive into topics that we don't normally, so I'm excited to be back, and especially with this episode.
Rumor has it, by the way, the Main Event Podcast, one of our friends, might be doing some year-end New England or Maine Wrestling Awards coming up.
Yes. I actually submitted some stuff to the categories the other day for both Limitless and Let's Wrestle, so... if you're not subscribed to them, definitely do so. The Main Event Podcast, that's Maine with an E like the state. I love their podcast, man. They always do reviews of the Limitless and Let's Wrestle shows. So maybe you want to hear a fan's perspective, or maybe you missed the show and want to catch up. They've got a great review on most every show that they go to. So I'm excited for those year-end awards.
I saw there was a Best Trash Talker category. Throw a little nominee.
You may have been nominated. I can't speak. I know they're nominating people too.
I can talk a little trash.
I know you can. You do it on here.
That I do. But yes, it should be a lot of fun. I was invited to a group about it today, so I guess I'll be involved in that process. So that could be fun.
Very cool.
But you're talking podcast, man. Got to throw out some plugs to Living the Gimmick here. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen, but last week we had on AJ Kirsch, the voice of WWE 2K19's career mode.
How did that go?
It was awesome. If you haven't listened to it, I highly suggest you do. It's the only place you're going to get an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at WWE 2K19 and the My Career Mode. And I don't have a gaming console right now, so I went and I watched all the cutscenes from the game. And I'm not just blowing smoke because I like the guy, but I thought AJ did a hell of a job. And
yeah,
have you played the game?
One of my friends actually got the game, and I sat through watching some of the My Career Mode, and it's so well done. Like, compared to what I used to play as a kid, it's amazing.
The only thing I didn't like, they crap all over the indies, like the entire time. It's like, oh, aren't you used to wrestling in high school gyms? And I'm like, you know what? I'm like,
well, they gotta have that stereotype.
I'm like, you know what? I've gone to a lot of damn good shows in high school gyms before.
Hell yeah, dude! They make some of the best venues sometimes.
So, I'm just saying, give a little love where it's due. And they couldn't even get John Cena to do his own voice.
Did they not?
No.
Unreal.
And so they got all these other superstars to do their own voice, which is good. Some of them are really bad acting. Some of them are great. Braun Strowman is great. Dan O'Brien, not so much, but I'm listening, and John Cena comes on, and I'm like, whoa, that is not John Cena, not even remotely is that John Cena, and that was a callback, but, you know, I guess AJ, you know, for those of you who don't know the background on him, he was on Tough Enough, season 5, the one with Austin as the host, and he was an indie wrestler, so he lived that life. So getting him to voice the main character, it made sense, and it was genuine and authentic.
Yeah.
So good stuff there.
Let me ask you something. If you had to have somebody, like if you weren't doing your voice yourself, who would you – if you could pick anyone in the world, who's covering the John Alba voice?
Well, enough people tell me all the time that I sound like Ray Romano. You know, I don't even know why people would say anything like that.
Holy shit, we have uncovered some stuff here.
I don't even know why anyone would say that, Randy. I don't sound like that.
That's amazing. Wow. Yeah, we're doing a spinoff show. That's good stuff.
So yeah, probably Ray Romano. How about you?
I have no idea who I sound like. I just think, I don't know. Chris Farley, maybe?
Yeah, I could get down with that.
I feel like when I'm like either yelling or talking really loud, I kind of sound like him. When I listen to it back on camera, I hear it on commentary all the time.
What if he had the Chris Farley show skit where he'd be like, remember that one time that you put out that album with the Beatles? Man, that was awesome. I love those Chris Farley. He was great, man. He was so great. So great. So that's worth checking out on Living the Gimmick. In last week's episode, LTG 161 dropped this today, actually, as we record this, and I had some choice words about this Saudi Arabia situation.
I'm interested to take a listen to that. I saw you post it earlier.
Yes, I spoke for about 25 minutes to a half hour on it, and I highly suggest you take a listen if you haven't.
Yeah, definitely.
It's rare that I get heated about something in pro wrestling, and I got pretty heated about this. So, all right, Randy, it's Q&A time. Ask Limitless. We got a ton of questions to get to, so let's waste no more time and get to it. Actually, let's waste a little more time and remind people here about some of the shows coming up before we get to that. No Control and Limitless versus Blitzkrieg on November 30th and December 1st, respectively. What's the latest?
Man, I'm so excited for this weekend. I 100% did not plan to end the year with a double shot, and I think I've said that before, but man, it was just too good to pass up. No Control on Friday, November 30th, Portland Club in Portland, Maine. Only about 140 tickets left already, because this is a smaller venue. Don't forget, we do have to cut off some capacity here, where in Westbrook we can fit 500 here. Max capacity, we can do about 375. So it's not going to be our normal space. So definitely, if you want your tickets, get them early. We sold a ton today. We got the big match set up that was set up last show. Josh Briggs one-on-one with Chris Dickinson. I am super excited for that because I don't think there's two people that have come into Limitless like Dickinson, like Briggs, and just run roughshod over everybody. You know, Chris Dickinson, one loss this year, and it was to Brian Cage. Nothing to sneeze at. Josh Briggs has had some of the biggest wins of his career this year in Limitless Wrestling. We look at Teddy Hart, and we look at last show at Brody King, so super excited to see that. Filthy Tom Lawler on this card. Christian Casanova, Puff, the main state posse. JT Dunn, as much as I hate to say it, Maxwell Jacob Friedman is on the card as well. So you can go to Limitless Wrestling on Facebook. Go to the event page. Click going or click interested, one or the other. That way you can keep up with all the notifications for this show. And then the next day, Saturday, December 1st, we're going to Enfield, Connecticut for the first time ever. It's Limitless versus Blitzkrieg Pro. And the same thing, event page, Limitless versus Blitzkrieg is right there. Click going, you can get all the notifications. But representing so far for Team Blitzkrieg, the Batiri of Oberion and Kadama and DJ Z. And so far for Limitless Wrestling, we've got Harlow O'Hara and Doomfly of Eli Everfly and Delilah Doom. So I definitely still want to know who do you want on Team Limitless? And let Blitzkrieg know who you want to represent them as well. I'm super excited for how this is going to go. And we kind of went through the layout of the show last week, but there's going to be six matches that are Limitless versus Blitzkrieg. The winners of those matches are going to move on to a Survivor Series-style elimination tag main event later in the night. And obviously, with those six matches, the teams could be uneven. So I just hope we whoop them. We don't even have to do that elimination tag match. And we all go home knowing that Limitless is top tier around these parts. But super excited for it, man. New fan base to appeal to and something really cool for both fans of both promotions.
No doubt about that. It is very exciting. And that will be a very unique show because there's never been one like it. So we will see.
I've been wanting to do one of these, man. And I think a lot of people, they've pitched it for different companies, whether it be Blitz or Chaotic or Beyond. So I'm really happy that we're kind of being able to dive in here at the end of the year and do something cool like this.
You mentioned Harlow, and maybe I would be better doing due diligence if I had researched this prior, but I saw her name on, I guess there's a really big indie show going on of just all women's wrestling the same weekend of Evolution, right in New York.
Yeah, and you know who that is?
I just saw a poster of it. I didn't see who the promotion was. I didn't see.
No, it's WWR, Women's Wrestling Revolution.
Okay. So that's a big, I mean, it's pretty much anyone who's not with WWE is on this show.
Yeah, I think this is the biggest card that WWR has ever put out. And I've been like, it's been pretty cool to watch them.
And
they've
seeing,
only been around a couple of years. Seeing, so they're doing this super show.
Seeing Harlow on this, I was like, okay, I see ya. I see ya, girl. It's pretty dope.
I'm happy for her, man. Like, I really, truly believe that next year, if not by the end of this year, next year she's going to be nationally known.
I would very much agree with that. I think she's going to be a star. She was awesome. How'd Let's Wrestle go?
Dude, super fun. I think, because, you know, this was the third volume of Let's Wrestle. And one of the big differences from having it be a Limitless show is a Limitless show, like, I to me, there's like 100 times more pressure and there's 100 more moving parts because there's so much that goes on that, I don't know. It's just crazy. We've talked about it before. There's travel, there's vendors, there's, just different people you have to keep happy, make sure everyone's good. These shows are such a breeze, and especially because it's not just me, it's myself and MSP kind of making this all work. So it's a lot less stressful. We're able to, we laid out the show, I think, very well, and we had 6 matches, so it's definitely a detour from what normal Limitless shows are, but just bell to bell, first match to 6th match, I think, the flow of the show was awesome, the match is all delivered, and I'm super excited for January now.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that January show.
Yeah, so pretty big announcement at Volume 3, January 19th, that's a Saturday night in Orono. That's our return for Volume 4 of Let's Wrestle. Entitled Let's Rumble, because the main event's going to be a 30-man over-the-top rope rumble.
Look at this.
Coming out being the first ever Let's Wrestle champ.
I pitch an idea on the podcast, and here it is happening in real life. I'm basically booking this thing. So you're doing a rumble, and you're going to have a champion here. So many people complain about Limitless not having a title. Here you go, folks. Let's wrestle.
And I think, like, one of the things, and I was talking to MSP about this, is it makes a lot of sense to have a title here because that's a, totally distinguishable way to tell who is the top dog in Let's Wrestle. And usually that will mean that Let's Wrestle champion is probably ready for the Limitless Wrestling shows. So that's probably the next step with that championship. And, who knows? Maybe we'll see some Let's Wrestle title matches on Limitless Wrestling shows moving forward. Who knows?
Now that would be pretty sweet. Okay, let's get to it. Here's some questions. All you have to do is ask Limitless, and we will start with this one from Chad. Thoughts on offering a season pass like AAW in Progress?
So I have thought a lot about this, but the big problem is I truly don't know how many events we're going to run. Some promotions, they got their shit together, and they say usually around this time, they'll sit down and look at the next year and say, all right, let's plan out our 12 dates for each month for the rest of the year. And they set those dates and they set them up with the venues and then they go to the talent from there. I don't think that's possible for me to run the best show possible because I can say I'm sitting here in October and I can look at, next May, next June and say, all right, I want to run June 26th. And I can write that down, say, all right, cool. And, I go to book my core guys and you'll probably get them. But we look down the line, some of these guys who are on our core roster do have contracts or do have, bigger obligations that they have to do. So those can pop up for anyone. So then, let's say half of those guys go. And then now I'm even closer to the show. And now I don't have anybody booked for, bigger names. It just, to me, I don't think it works best for us to put on the best shows possible. So it also doesn't work with our venues. That's another thing. I can usually only book those like 3 or 4 months in advance, which is what I try to do.
That was going to be my follow-up. Rick wants to know, I love the current venues, but are ticket sales awesome enough that they are being outgrown?
I would like to say yes, because we're just about selling out every time we run Westbrook. Portland is a given at this point that it's going to be near or already sold out before we get there. But I just don't know for sure. Like, I love the Westbrook Armory. I think it's a perfect venue for what we do. It's a perfect professional wrestling venue.
It would
be
perfect if it had some bigger fans or air conditioning. Other than that, yes.
I agree. Yeah, I agree, not perfect all the way around. No. But it's very easy when it comes to a professional wrestling venue. And we kind of have a real good setup there. But I'm always looking for different venues. the problem is there's just not a ton around the Portland Westbrook area that makes sense for us financially and has enough space. Ideally right now, if I were to pick out a venue, like any venue, I'd look at a venue that was around 600 person capacity, because I think we're in that range of like 450 to 550 right now. I definitely think that we can do 600 every time. But
would a big high school gym work in that sense, or is it because the hours you need it for longer and that wouldn't work maybe?
Those are tough because I've just, and you know, this could be just the schools that they were working with at the time, but you know, working with smaller promotions when I was younger, I'd just see these shows get booked at high school gyms, and then like, you know, something can pop up 2 weeks out where the fucking, you know, the band practice has to be moved inside because it's raining or something. You know, just a bunch of shit can pop up because you can't really sign a contract with a high school functioning gym and say, hey, we're definitely using this Saturday all day. You can't fucking change us. You know, it's tough to have that happen in work, because I've seen that go the wrong way. But, you know, I'm open to anything, really. If it fits what we need to do well and fits enough people in there, I'm open to it.
Absolutely. Randy, I'm going to ask you to turn up your volume a little bit if you can, just for everyone to hear.
Yeah.
We will keep going through these questions. Rachel wants to know, best eateries you found on the road for shows?
Ooh, okay. I love Otto, just because it's open after every show. The toughest thing is trying to find something that's open once we, you know, get the ring torn down and head out.
But I think they also mean, you know, when you go to other wrestling shows in other states, you used to go down to a lot of Beyond shows. I'm sure you still do. You know, when you do that, do you encounter anything?
Okay. Pappy's Pizza in Manchester, New Hampshire. That was an awesome one. And the Purple Cow in Fairfield. I don't know if you've ever been there, John.
I've been there. Mm-hmm.
I always stop there.
Was that pancakes and stuff?
Yeah, it was. It was basically like a hometown Denny's, because they'd be open till like 1 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. So if it was a show that you were back early enough from, you could hit it.
Yeah, you know, being in Orlando, stuff is actually open late now. It's great.
Dude, my local, anything in my town, the latest thing open is 10 p.m.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I got to go to Old Town. Yeah, it's 20 minutes away. I hate it.
Got to go to Old Town only for it to close at midnight instead.
Exactly.
Everything's 24/7 here. It's fan-freaking-tastic.
That's insane.
Love it. Well, that's how normal people live. Maine is just different, man.
We're tired, brother.
Oh, dear Lord. You're too worried about what Ted Smith did in the 1957 Class A North, or pardon me, Class A East regional finals at the old Bangor Auditorium. That's what people are more worried about up in Maine, instead of staying open late.
Not me, brother. I'd love to get a road milkshake at 2:30, but it doesn't happen. Everybody's so worried about Ted Smith, I guess.
Got to get on that Wawa flow, man.
Yeah, I'm down.
Continuing here. Will wants to know, what were the results of the Eric Greenleaf podcast poll?
We didn't do it because I knew it would not succeed. Because you knew it would fail. Succeed.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
One of these days it'll sneak up on you when you least expect it, and boom, Eric Greenleaf's going to be in your podcast feed. Oh,
dear Lord. The Indie Wave. Why do you who do you anticipate joining Team Blitzkrieg for the show? So we know a couple, but who else do you think?
I honestly don't know, because DJ Z is a guy I did not expect.
Yeah, that one came out of left field.
One thing I know is PCO got announced for the show. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
PCO, I'm really making a bargain at getting him on Team Limitless. I don't even think he knows who Jeremy Leary is. So
I mean, he had one of the best matches of his career in Limitless.
Yeah, man. So him and Chris Dickinson tore it the fuck down. I love PCO, so I want him on Team Limitless, but I don't know. I was thinking about that.
Let me sidebar here real quick off PCO while you think about that. I was at work the other day, and I went up to one of our reporters who's a casual wrestling fan at best.
Yeah.
And more so an old-time wrestling fan. I say, who are the best tag teams of all time, Greg? And he's like, well, you know, you put Arn and Tully up there. Put a couple. He's like, I think you got to put the Quebecers up there too.
Hell yeah.
And I go, you know, in my other life, where, you know, my past life, where this other past being of mine used to encompass my soul.
Yep.
He worked on a couple shows with PCO. And, you know, PCO is pretty freaking awesome.
Yes, he is.
I told him that. He goes, Pierre Carlette's still going? I said, hell yeah, he is. You can go over to limitlesswrestling.com and look up Limitless Wrestling on YouTube and see what PCO is all about.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, who else?
It is crazy, though, when you really sit back and think about it. It's crazy to see him going at the level he is.
Who else do you think would be on this Team Blitzkrieg?
So I would have to say that Jeremy Leary and Skyler would make a ton of sense.
Skyler's on that show, too, by the way, the woman show.
She is, yeah. Yes. She's been on a lot of WWR stuff lately. I would think that the former Blitzkrieg Bedlam champion, Smart Mark Sterling, would be on the team. I would also guess that CPA would be on the team. But I'm not sure, because they do have, like, there's a lot of guys who cross over, too. So, it's, I have no idea. I'm excited for the announcements, just as you are.
Brad for the Barber, favorite moment at the Portland Club?
That's a great question.
I'll come up with a couple here. I would say I think that street fight between AG and JT Dunn was one of the best matches in Limitless history.
I would agree. Yeah, I think that's definitely. I was actually putting together, spoiler, the Best of Limitless Volume 3 is coming soon, and I was putting together just some lists to try to pick from it, and that's a top one, obviously, because that's, you know, I think one of the better matches in Limitless history. I think probably one of the best matches in the Portland Club. But
got to think the ace pounce of AR Fox,
dude, that was nuts.
That show was just loaded. What else? What else can you come up with?
One of my favorite ones would be Darby Allin's debut in November of last year. Mm-hmm. He wrestled Josh Briggs, and I just think it was really cool because Josh was obviously supposed to wrestle Teddy Hart. We know what happened there.
Yep.
And it was a tough way to debut for Darby, because Darby at that point was just on the cusp of being very well known. He was kind of just having his first like big rivalry and evolve, and really hadn't been in the New England area much up to that point. I think he'd only been in the Northeast for GCW. So relatively unknown, even though probably most people knew his name. And within, you know, 2 minutes into that match, the dude has the crowd in the palm of his hands and they fucking love him. Like that's so cool to see just how quickly the crowd got behind Darby in that matchup.
I'd agree with that. Nate wants to know, what separates a venue from being easy and difficult to run as a promoter?
The biggest one is the people, honestly, because, you know, you're dealing with people throughout the whole thing, whoever owns it or whoever you're renting it from. So if they're easy to work with, if they know, you know, what professional wrestling is, what they're getting into, and, you know, they're cool with it, you know, looking like it's getting out of hand, you know. If they're cool people, then it's super easy. Some people, you know, they're going to rent their building because they want to make money, but they don't like professional wrestling. So it does get tough when you have an owner who doesn't want to work with you, or there's, you know, there might be sanctions on the building, or there's curfews, or, you know, whatever the hell is in place. That makes it difficult. And in general, layouts of buildings, you know, if we have an easy layout where it's an open floor, that makes for a very easy setup and a very enjoyable experience. With the Portland Club, for instance, we do have some limitations because it's a lower ceiling. There's the beams, there's the chandeliers, but you know, if we have enough ceiling height and if we have enough floor space, we can really make anything work.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we saw with the Portland Club at that show back in, what was that, in April? May was at Westbrook.
No. I got corrections on this. It was May 11th, Feed the Need.
But March? Oh, it was. Okay, it wasn't at the, gotcha. Okay, so yeah, so it was May. Eli Everfly hitting the chandelier.
Yeah, that was something, man. I you know, and I just, I don't think to mention that in the meeting, and I know I didn't that day, so I like ran back there and was like, hey guys, just don't forget to look out for that chandelier too, and then ran back
out. You know what, I don't remember it being worded like that.
I wasn't mad. I was kind of laughing.
Yeah.
I couldn't be mad. I didn't say
no, anything. No. But it was more nerve, more nervousness. That wasn't the terminology you will use. But since
I was waiting for someone at the venue to come up to me and say, "Get the fuck out of here."
Since I don't cuss on this show, I'll let you imagine what Randy actually said. But you want to talk about unique backstage areas? Portland Club is about as unique as it gets.
It looks like a
mansion.
I don't know. It looks like a room in the White House.
Yeah. You've got people like stretching out on like a piano seat.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Literally people setting up merch on the piano in the room.
It's wild.
Yeah.
But hey, that's kind of some of the charm of independent wrestling too.
It is.
Mikey wants to know, any international talent coming in the next few months?
Nothing planned. I'm trying to think if anybody is international. I don't think so. I kind of forget he's international, but I've reached out to Ethan Page for a bunch of dates. But
who, by the way, did you watch any of Bound for Glory?
Yeah, he's in Impact Wrestling now.
He had a freaking killer match to start that pay-per-view off.
Dude, I'm so happy he's back there. I'm excited to watch that match because I have heard it's a banger.
Yeah, Rich Swann, Willie Mack, and Matt Sydal tore the house down.
Yeah, but nothing off the top of my head. I have reached out to some international talent about January, but nothing confirmed yet. But you guys will be the first to know.
Bet they will. Just so we make sure people are still listening, want to give us a sale of the week here?
Yeah, so this coming week, all Limitless Wrestling t-shirts, all the logo shirts, anything that's not a baseball tee or long sleeve or hoodie are going to be 50% off on limitlesswrestling.com. So from Thursday to Thursday, you're going to see 50% off t-shirts. Any logo, anything on them, as long as they're a t-shirt, 50% off.
There you go. If you're listening to this, you know about it. Don't tell anyone else. It'll cost us money. let's continue here. Kyle asks, now that you're doing shows in Connecticut, are there any plans to do other shows in other states like New Hampshire? I feel the Seacoast area is a nice midpoint between Boston and Portland.
So I actually, months and months ago, I talked to Joey Eastman about what it takes to run a show in New Hampshire. And New Hampshire actually has a somewhat strict athletic commission, not like super strict like we've heard of the New York, New Jersey area, but strict enough so it's a hassle, but we have looked into New Hampshire a couple times. I do think it would be a cool midpoint, but I don't have anything in the works right now, possibly next year, but nothing soon.
Jared asks, can we get a wild stipulation at No Control, something never done before?
I would say there's always potential for that to happen, but as I always say with any stipulation matches, the circumstance has to be right for it to go down.
I think the one at the Vacation Land Cup, the Emmy Leaves Town, had to be a first time ever, right?
Cannot think of another situation where there would have been an Emmy Leaves Town match.
Yeah. So there you go, Limitless Wrestling doing something wild.
Hey, oh man, yeah, we're fresh, brother.
You already got it there. Clara, weirdest people you've almost booked for Limitless or Let's Wrestle?
That's a great question.
I don't know what defines weirdest, because there are weird people in pro wrestling, and then there's like, oh, I didn't expect that person.
So. Yeah, I won't even get into the weird people in pro wrestling.
Because there's plenty of those.
I looked into Trevor Murdoch very heavily.
I know, you love Trevor Murdoch.
I fucking love Trevor Murdoch. It's no secret. I think Trevor Murdoch is a fantastic hand, as they call them in the ring.
He would fit very well in Maine.
He would. That's the thing. That's a huge point of all this, because I've told MSP this, and they've shot me some looks. But, man, Trevor Murdoch appeals to the central northern Maine audience. I know, because I live here. He'd be amazing for Let's Wrestle in that case. But I always thought, like, I know Trevor's not wrestling now. I did find that out. But I just thought he reminded me so much of like an 80s Hoss that would, you know, go to Japan and dominate and then come back and be a god. I thought that was always Trevor Murdoch, because he was just, I don't know. I so enjoyed him teaming with Lance Cade, but I really enjoyed anything he did because he was just a throwback bruiser.
Kind of like the Revival.
Yeah, I would definitely liken him and Cade to the Revival. I'm trying to think of anybody else weird. Tatanka, I looked into a couple times.
Yes, we've spoken about that before on here too.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else weird. Nothing off the top of my head. The Godfather. I almost booked The Godfather.
Yeah, wait, we've never talked about that one before.
No, we haven't. I looked into him. I want to say it was for January of this. It was either January of this year or November of last year. I looked into it for some kind of really weird spot idea. I don't even remember what it was, but I did look into getting him for it, and he already had a booking for an appearance, so it wasn't possible.
Here's a funny story for those of you listening. This is a 100% true story. Randy can absolutely attest to this.
Okay.
After the 2017, summer 2017 Raw House Show that was at the Cross Center, I was downtown, and I was at a bar, and alone in a corner sat Enzo Amore. And he was alone. So I was like, hey, man, like, how you doing? Like, all this stuff. And he and I got to talking, and the way the conversation went was pretty much exactly how you think it went. And I texted Randy after, and I said, I think I just, like, had drinks with Enzo Amore. And you were like, oh, how was he? And I said verbatim, I'll put it this way. You'll probably be able to book him on a Limitless show next year if you want to.
And, yeah, that's legitimate.
And lo and behold, you could if you wanted to, Randy.
Yeah, that was correct. Pretty good.
Something in, to quote Mean Girls, it's like I have ESPN or something. I wasn't wrong about that, but I don't think he'll be taking any bookings anytime soon.
Yeah, I just think he's doing appearances. I don't think he's wrestling at all.
No, he is not. All right, let's continue here. From Jim, what's the one thing you would change about independent wrestling?
That's a great question. I would say, and it's really nothing to do with, you know, good independent wrestling, but I would change how it's viewed. Because I think a lot of people, and, you know, I would say a good majority of people who, you know, I've gone to myself about running shows at their venue or, you know, getting sponsors or stuff like that, is independent wrestling isn't really viewed in a great light. Wrestling in general, even though, you know, we're progressing every day, but it's not really viewed in a great light, because there are a ton of, you know, shitty promotions or shitty promoters, I should say, who don't do it right, and they don't do the work right, and they don't do really any of it right, and they burn people and they burn workers, and, you know, it gets a bad taste in people's mouth when they go to a bad show that's, you know, poorly put on.
I'll give you one, and some circumstances are always out of your control, but I would like to see promoters keeping promises, not just to fans, but to wrestlers too. Now, when you're promoting a show, card is always subject to change, and when you buy a ticket for a show, you have to understand that, because factors change. Things happen, as we've talked about many a times on this podcast. What you do well is you rectify it. If someone drops out, you find an equally as good or even better sometimes replacement. And a lot of times promoters don't do that, or they promise one thing. Like, for example, the show that I talked about on this podcast right before I left Maine, where they promised all these appearances and these people and delivered a pro wrestling show that was an hour and 10 minutes long.
Yeah. That happens all the time though, man. And
yeah, that's one thing sucks. I'd change.
I would change that too, because, you know, for all the good wrestling that there's a lot of shit. And that's what people, you know, and I will say that's what people like me have to try to rectify, because especially in Maine, man, there's been so many promoters who just don't care. And they'll wreck a venue because they know they're never going to come back. They got cash in their pocket. They're just going. And there's just so many burned people around wrestling because of these bad, you know, just bad deals, bad people who shouldn't be in the business. So it's fun though. It's rewarding to like try to rectify that with people and fans who have been burned. We've had numerous situations, and you know this just as well as I do, where these big shows get planned with these big stars on it from all over the world. And, you know, I can sit back 3 months beforehand and know, hey, that show is not going to happen. And, you know, we've had multiple times where we've offered, you know, to rectify people who have purchased tickets and they didn't get their refunds. I've let them into shows for free just to try to keep them being a fan of independent wrestling. So I would change all the shit that comes with this business, to put it bluntly.
If you heard those noises, folks, that's John's new computer trying to get adjusted to.
Yeah, trying to interrupt me the whole time. Yeah, fuck that thing, man.
Yeah. Sorry about that. If that happens a couple other times, it'll be fixed next week. I promise you on that. Continuing here, let's see. Stan wants to know, who are you sending to Enfield, Connecticut for Limitless versus Blitzkrieg? Well, that would ruin some of the fun.
We do not have the full team picked out yet. I do know that Harlow O'Hara, Delilah Doom, and Eli Everfly are three that are heading there now. Top Shelf Troy is also going to be in the house under the Limitless Wrestling banner. So there's four right now. But we have a lot more to go. I haven't confirmed everybody yet, but we have a lot more on Team Limitless.
Lee asks, can we see another Portland Street fight on 11:30?
Hey, man, if a situation calls for it, I would almost say that Ashley Box and Chris Statlander is about getting to that point. But who knows, man? The card's still coming together. I don't know for sure, but I'd love to see another one because Anthony Green and JT Dunn, as we said earlier, one of the best matches to happen this year.
Ryan asks, where has Tabernak Day Team gone? They had a great match with MSP and were never seen again.
I'm so bummed about TDT and Bucks because they came in so hot in Limitless Wrestling and people loved them so quick. And they're just fantastic, man. I had so much fun just sitting back and watching their matches. And they only had like three in Limitless, if I'm not mistaken. And the problem is that you do have to have a work visa if you are a Canadian citizen performing in the U.S., regardless if it's independent wrestling. And they're at that point now where they either have to get a work visa to come in or they cannot come in to perform. So it's very tough, you know, as an independent wrestler to get a work visa because they're not cheap, unfortunately.
That is very true. Greg says, with Let's Wrestle now taking over your focus in Central Maine, does this mean Limitless will not be traveling up there?
Not necessarily, but I would say not soon because I think we've got it on lock right now with Let's Wrestle. But I have thrown around an idea, you know, seeing how much hype is going into this Limitless and Blitz show, maybe doing a best of Limitless versus best of Let's Wrestle show in Central Maine sometime.
Mm.
I think that'd be fun.
Could be interesting.
Yeah.
Nathan asks, how do we get some of our boys on the War of the Worlds card?
Let them know, man. Let Ring of Honor know who you like and where you saw them. And,
have they announced anything for that show?
What's that?
Have they announced anything for that show?
Yeah, they have. They did the Ring of Honor like roster announcements when they first dropped the show, and they've been slowly adding the New Japan ones as well. I saw Juice Robinson today, and I think Naito's on it. But
are you,
they haven't
are you going to that show?
Yet.
Are you going to that show?
I may attend, but I may be handing out some flyers to another show outside, but who knows?
The Limitless Invasion?
No Limitless Invasion, no.
Gotcha. Sure. That's what you say. Kyle says, any chance we get more extreme matches in the future, or do they prove to be too extreme for the venues?
I think this goes back to what I've been saying earlier, if the circumstance calls for it, because you know, I haven't really shied away from doing them before. We've had a couple fans bring the weapons matches, and obviously one of them got quite out of hand. But I think we'd be a lot better prepared now if we do, you know, any kind of violent matches. But I always say the same thing. If the circumstance calls for it, if there's, you know, people who need to hash it out in a violent environment or an unsanctioned environment, I'm not going to say no. It's just got to, you know, circumstance has to call for that.
I would agree. Patrick, great question here. Will we see another John Alba trading card in Series 2? When will trading cards be back at the merch table?
I think there's a pretty good chance you could see another John Alba card. But we do have another shipment of Series 1 that's going to arrive. It was supposed to arrive at the beginning of October. Obviously, it did not. So it should be any time within the next couple weeks, and they will be available online. I probably don't expect them to make it to November 30th. So if we do sell out of those, I will get a restock for November 30th. And kicking off the new year in 2018 will be Series 2.
And our last question comes from Fred. Who are the most unique wrestlers going today, in your opinions? P-C-O.
Yes, I would agree. And I'm not even just saying this to blow smoke up our own ass, but I think we've got some really unique wrestlers mm-hmm. on the scene in Limitless. People like Darby Allin, Harlow O'Hara, Kristen Statlander, even the mainstay posse, Anthony Green, the Retrosexual. Looking across, you know, the nation of independent wrestling, I really enjoy the Carnies.
And this doesn't just have to be indie wrestling. It's going to be in general, too. Most unique.
Oh.
This is just, who are the most unique wrestlers going today?
I like the Carnies a lot. They're doing something different. Going today. I love Elias.
Elias is unique. Mm-hmm.
I very much enjoy Elias.
Even though it's a gimmick that's been done a lot, he brings a very fresh take to it.
I agree. It's old school, but it's new school at the same time, I think, because it's just...
Velveteen Dream, very unique.
Velveteen Dream, yeah, he was my next one for sure, because I would say Aleister Black, too.
Aleister Black, I'd agree with. Mm-hmm.
He's created... I've watched him for years, and just the presence that he brings in a ring is unmatched. It's so cool to watch his matches for me.
Switchblade, Jay White right now, for me, is...
I haven't seen enough of Jay recently.
Really?
Nothing recent.
His stuff with Tanahashi that he just wrapped up was just so fantastic.
I'll have to check it out.
And look, Kenny Omega is so unique in his own way, too.
I agree, man.
He's 100%. Got that, like, pop culture blending with this, like, old-school pro wrestler. It's very unique.
I don't disagree.
I'm trying to think of any other real good ones out there.
I'm going to go with Amazing Red, too, even though, like...
Yeah, he's been around forever, but, yeah.
Red is just unique watching his matches because, like, I'm just... He was one guy who always blew me away, just watching him because it was always so effortless, it seemed like. But just... I was watching, like, I think it was 2003, like, Ring of Honor, something that him and Brian Excel were on teaming, and they're just unreal, dude. Amazing Red still, like, he's only really wrestling in House of Glory right now. But the dude's still unreal, and he's been wrestling forever. And his matches are just so fun to watch.
I'd put Brian Cage in that conversation, too.
Yeah, dude. I agree.
Not many guys his size can do what he can.
No, absolutely.
They certainly cannot. And the next time we do an Ask Limitless question, you can send in yours. Just use that hashtag, AskLimitless. Send it on Twitter, at LWMain, on Facebook, Limitless Wrestling. You can tag Randy or myself in them as well. Got to give a shout-out real quick here. Just announced this past week, Ace Romero's heading to MLW.
Dude, how cool is that?
We talk about it every week, I feel like, but MLW just continues to grow and grow and grow, and to see all these Limitless guys on it, man, that is so great for Limitless.
Can I say another thing cool that I just found out yesterday?
Sure.
So I was chatting with Drew Cordero, and big congratulations to Beyond Wrestling. They hit 1 million followers or 1 million subscribers the other day on youtube.com/Beyond Wrestling. And that's amazing for an independent wrestling company to have that many subscribers on YouTube. But there was a database that came out from a couple different websites that was sent to me, and it's total subscriber lists for wrestling channels. And obviously, WWE owns the territory, but number 10 on that list of anything on the globe is Limitless Wrestling. So that was pretty insane to see in 3 years how much ground we've made.
So let me just dissect that again. So say that again. So Limitless is 10th in New England. Is that what it was?
Or no, it's the world, brother.
Limitless is 10th in the world per this database.
Yes, for YouTube subscribers.
For YouTube subscribers. That is awesome.
I couldn't believe it, man. It's pretty crazy.
That is so fantastic. Got to give a shout-out to all the Limitless Wrestling fans for that one.
Yeah, Limitless Wrestling fans, the wrestlers who have put in so much time, Tanya and Harry, who make us look like $1 million with everything that they do. It's really cool, man. There's been a lot of people here from day one, just putting in so much work to try to make this thing from Maine that looked unattainable be a nationally known thing. So thank you to everybody involved. It's crazy.
Wow, wow, wow. That is pretty, pretty, pretty awesome. Got to think. Maybe they got the best podcast, too, of any of those promotions.
I think so. I love our podcast.
They could subscribe on iTunes, on Podbean, wherever you get your your podcast, if it is the Limitless Wrestling YouTube, which is totally possible because the podcast goes up on there, then that's great because you can get your hands on that then there too. Make sure you subscribe, you share, and God, please, please, this is all I ask, leave a review. Whether it's just hitting that 5 stars button or then putting a little text saying you think that there's some just fantastic Audible chocolate coming their way. That's all we ask for, folks. Please do that. And we will be back as soon as we can with another edition of the Limitless Wrestling Podcast.